May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God and our Redeemer. Amen. I should warn you that you should buckle up for the next 3 weeks for long Gospels, because that is the journey of John during Lent at year A. Last Sunday, I needed a simple and clear image while I was trying to teach the youth confirmation class. Focusing on what does it mean in the baptismal covenant when we say we will proclaim Christ by word and example. What is it that we achieve or aim to achieve in the Christian life? As I sat there, it finally began to clear. The image that I needed. God largely desires for us to look out at the world with Jesus' eyes, to see one another as he does, with compassion, forgiveness, and hope. And then to act on what we see by word and example. That gave me a memory which I've saved for you. As a child, headed into adolescence, I had an odd awakening. I don't remember the age, just the awakening. It was a moment when I realized that my body was not me. I was just being myself, and then suddenly I felt like I was looking out of my eye sockets. I was not my eye sockets. I was not my body. I was inside. And distinguishable from that which housed me. Was that an awareness of what the Greeks call soul, psyche, or what we popularly call psyche? It was an awakening to the depth of me. And with it came an awareness that no one could truly see me. I was somehow deeper, more real, than anyone could see or notice. Was that an awakening to my eternal worth, to the mystery of me that longs for the mystery of God, a worth no one else could see and no one could remove? I don't know, but it frightened me and it soothed me to know that I was more than my body. When we talk of a person's psyche or of their soul, is it not this deeper self? And what if it is our eternal self? Studies show that children who have suffered body injury, excessive physical punishment, sexual abuse perhaps, often have a sense of themselves as separated from their bodies. Do we all? I just wonder. This kind of sense of separation of self from body informs my image. God largely desires for us to look out at the world with Jesus' eyes and to see one another as he does. That means what? That we house his compassion, his forgiveness, his hope. That we look about us full of him, and that that is our lifetime's work, to learn to see as he sees. In my prayer space at home, I have an icon of Jesus the teacher. His eyes always seem deep to me in the morning light, deep like eternity is reflected there. He is my touchstone, the place where I more deeply connect to God and to life. The icon's solid nature reminds me that God inhabits solid things like our flesh. I want not only to follow God's commandments as I understand them, I want to interplay with them, speak of them. I want them to define and to soften my boundaries. And yet I want more. I desire the deep wisdom of charitable, kind living that flows from this Jesus into and out of me. Is that not what our faith life is all about? In today's gospel, Jesus comes to rest on a well. The air is hot and dry. The walk perhaps has been long to this noonday resting. A woman is there drawing water. It is late in the day for heavy work. Women generally do this domestic task early and in the cool of the day. Perhaps it is her multiple marriages that has caused her to avoid the judgment of those who come to draw water early in the day. Jesus immediately violates two customs. He speaks directly to an unescorted woman. And then he asks a Samaritan, judged as unworthy of Jewish society, for the gift of water. She prickles at his daring, and they then do converse. And piece by piece, he travels deeper with her, looks beyond her skin, looks inward. It begins with her thirst and with his thirst in her bucket, the water she offers and the living water that Jesus can give, like water that flows from the throne of God, the heart of God that the old Negro spiritual speaks of. And then insight. Jesus looks into her troubled past and her current existence. That's followed by her deflection about theoretical religion. They say, she says. And Jesus paints a portrait of authentic religion filled with spirit and truth. Then there's her challenge of the Messiah to come, which verses the incarnation that is right there before her. The disciples interrupt them. She fears their judgment. And yet she goes right back to where she is known and where she has been judged. And she says, come and see. Come and see the place of insight and depth and living water and hope. She becomes the accidental evangelist of this gospel. The one who reluctantly lets her guard down and is seen. And in that place, it's touched to the very quick of her being. From this place of being seen, valued enough for conversation and insight, she invites others. And from this deep place beyond her eye sockets, she shares the hope of life restored, seen as holy unto God. As Jesus tells the Samaritan woman of her life by the well, I know we can each open our lives to this wisdom. I like the image that he even prays for me and us as I look at my icon in the morning. I admire how he simply tells her story as her defenses melt so hesitantly away. They are not unlike my defenses. They cover bits of me that I would rather not see, but do. I know what she will do next. She will go, she will share, she will invite others to come to meet Jesus. Come and see, she will say. And in the coming and the seeing is not God's judgment, but rather God's forgiveness and invitation and wisdom. And they will come and they will see as well. The world, America right now, seems so very rough. We speak so very roughly just now. There's a lot of seeing, but not seeing deeply. Perhaps it's been that way much longer than I've noticed. I try to tune it down, this harshness. Perhaps you find that you are doing just the same. but it helps me to remember. I do best when I look out my eye sockets to remember that Christ is looking out of them with me, and then to wonder, what would he have me do with my words, my opinions, my examples, my actions? Which voices does he wish me to invite in? What needs am I to notice and respond to? What deeds can I undertake that look like Christ? In this deep well of life, filled with the living water of Christ's care, connection, and wisdom for my journey, who else comes to draw water, and how will I notice them? In St. Paul's letter to the Romans today is a wonderful line that is so easily missed. Paul is writing about the great generosity of God coming to us in Christ Jesus, his willingness to live for us and die faithfully to his mission, resulting in forgiveness for our and humankind's sin. And there Paul writes, "For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life, by his living way." Here in the South, we often hear people speak of being saved. When they were saved, where they were saved, as if it was in a moment. It's essential to know that it's far more than that. We are saved by a life, by Christ's life, lived in a space and time long past and yet here right now. We learn that salvation by daily habits, the things we think, the things we do, the things we hope, grounded in the things he thinks, he does, and he hopes. We are each given a life. We're invited to look out our eye sockets and see beyond the surface, to see one another by the well, to ponder each other's need of care and wisdom, and together to act to deepen life, to heal life, to carry one another's burdens. We gather here as if by a well, seeking living water. We enter into Christ's teachings here. We're reminded that we are deeply seen here. We share his sacred self under the signs of bread and wine here. He unites to our deepest self, seeking to travel inward and join us on the deepest sense of journey and self. And by our patient waiting for him, he shows us that we live more deeply when we embrace his compassion and thus help him shape this world. So let us be here. Let us be shaped. And let us leave to shape. Amen.